Okay, so in this video, we'll be talking about what types of AR, augmented reality, experiences are there. And so the two main ones are marker-based and markerless-based. And so all a marker is sort of like a QR code or a unique image, a unique physical code that, or it, I guess it could be digital, but it's a unique sort of marker that allows you to add an AR experience to. And so if you have, you know, 50 different markers, you could have different experiences for each one of those, and then you could replicate those and share them around, and you'll have that specific experience given to other people. And so marker-based AR uses images and objects to call upon digital elements pre-programmed into AR devices or apps. And these markers are points of reference that help AR devices determine how augmented reality is incorporated into the environment. And so it's really sort of the anchor, the context that it allows. And this is dependent on the use of a camera on the device. And so with AR, AR is really dependent on the device and the camera. If you don't have a good camera, if you don't have a compatible device, then you really can't use the power of AR the way it's meant to. There's ways around it, like Vuforia has some things for backwards compatibility with phones and a few other things. Web-based AR is definitely coming around, but we're not necessarily at the point of mass adoption yet. But it's really about, you know, we have anchors with markers, and those markers allow us to have these AR experiences. So for creators, if you have images, if you have comic book covers, all that, perfect things to utilize AR with. Because it really allows you to make experiences that you never thought possible with your work before. Markerless AR uses patterns, colors, and other features to incorporate AR into environments. Since no markers are pre-programmed, it relies heavily on the use of camera and quality of the capturing device. This type of AR is often referred to as ground plane tracking. And so if you see a lot of things, Pokemon Go is a perfect example where regardless of where you're at, you can use AR, and because it will track the ground, it allows you to have Pokemon show up in the real world in front of you, and you could throw Pokemon balls at it and all that. It's really dependent on seeing where the context is. For my work, I don't do a lot of markerless AR. Simply because I work primarily in publishing. And so in publishing, the power of AR is really tied to the pages that are being used. And so for marker-based AR, I take pride in creating books that people can watch. I take pride in creating books that allow people to use the book without having to know how to read. And so instead of watching TV, instead of looking on your phone to have this passive experience, I really enjoy the power of AR in accessibility and really ways to combat illiteracy. And so if you have a book and it's sort of, you know, a kid has story time and he has an iPad and his parents aren't necessarily available to really read to him, but he really wants to go beyond just seeing the pictures, I'm creating that experience in AR. That allows the kid to take the book, keep it open, and then shine his iPad or his phone on it, and that will actually read the pages to him. And so he'll watch it, and he'll learn how to read, and he'll sort of be more engaged in it because he has control over it. And, you know, by adding animated elements, by adding voiceovers, by adding background music, all those things really, really create a more immersive experience. And so, you know, it's been very memorable for me. One of the things that a lot of people use right now with markerless AR are the portals. You know, going from the real world and walking into a AR space, a virtual space, and be able to see that through the lens of your phone. And so those things are really, really powerful, and it really makes accessibility a lot easier, especially now because a lot of people are just stuck in their house. You know, people are not trying to get sick. And so if you could create AR experiences, one, as a creator, but also as a consumer, it really enhances the world that we live in. You know, especially, it will definitely enhance the world that you live in if you live in a one-bedroom apartment like me. you know, where I could, I don't have to leave my room to actually go to some place and interact with these things that probably are across the country. And so that, those are the big things in AR. Those are the big AR experiences that you're more likely to see. There are some other ones, you know, we have sound AR and all that, but it's really all about, it's really all about creating those experiences. And as AR continues to boom, then we'll see more stuff coming down the pipeline, especially because a lot of this stuff is device dependent. And so with that, you know, make sure to check out all the other stuff that I have going on with my Doodle Life project, with stuff on Skillshare, with stuff on Udemy. Make sure to just check out all that stuff and follow along on the podcast, Stucky in Augmented Reality, on the YouTube channel, Stuck on an Island. Maybe follow some of the stuff on Illtopia, because that's where a lot of my AR projects are going to, if you're not following them on all the educational platforms. And with that, you know, I'll catch you guys on the flip side.